Welcome back to the Strong and Lean at Any Age podcast. I am Susan Niebergall, and today do I ever have a treat for you. I speak with Jenny McCall, who is 71 years young and became the oldest contestant to ever complete an obstacle on American Ninja Warrior. She is truly incredible. We're going to learn all about her story, her background, what it's like training for ninja, what her nutrition's been like, and what her goals are for the future. Because I can tell you this, we haven't heard the last of Jenny. So go grab your coffee, put up your feet, take a listen, or get those AirPods on, go for a walk and take a listen. Let's get to the episode.
That's fine.
There we go. Hi, Jenny. Great to see you.
Hey, it's so nice of you to have me.
Oh, well, I am so excited to meet you, and to be truly transparent, Jenny and I have spoken offline here just briefly before we hopped on, and I was telling her how I'm amazed at everything that you've been doing, and especially your most recent appearance on Ninja Warrior, which just brought me to tears. Like, I was so moved by what you were doing, just because the message that we both are trying to get out there to women of our age is so important. And to see someone on a national stage doing what you were doing was just like, I couldn't believe it. But I am so happy to have you here. It's great to meet you. So I want to hop right in because I feel like we have a lot to cover here.
Let me say thank you first for all those wonderful words, because, you know, it's my message. I really want people and women and people of all ages, how to let them know how important this is to them.
And we will be touching on that a lot, because you and I are singing from the same sheet of music on that, without a doubt. You're how old?
71.
Which is crazy to me. I mean, I'm 63. I'm a little bit behind you, but, you know, there are not a lot of us in the 60s and 70s, you know, out there pushing this message, you know?
Clearly.
there's not a lot of us. But we need to stick together, you know, and get this message out to everybody, because we all have our own unique story and how, you know, everything works for us. And I can't wait for everyone to hear about yours. So I would love for you to give us a little background. I mean, we don't need to start back, you know, because you said 71 years is a lot of years to recap. I get that. But just wherever you want to start, to give everybody let's just kind of go through life in general and how you got to where you are today.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll start with the fact that I was a dancer, and I grew up dancing from third grade on, and I went to college for dance education. Mm-hmm. So that was my life. And I have to say that neither of my parents ever, ever exercised. So I don't know where this came from, but I did tell myself at 16 that I swore to myself that I'd always keep exercising.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And I've pretty much stuck to it. I mean, there are tough times in between, but the dance brought me to New York City, and I gave myself 3 to 5 years, which I always give myself goals. It's like, okay, you can't just try it out for a couple of months and see if you like it or not. You really have to stay there for 3 to 5 years.
Man, I just want to say, I love that. Because I feel like that's a big problem just in general, right? With people, they try a diet or they try a workout program for just, you know, a month and say, oh, it's not working for me, right? It's not enough time. But I love that you said, no, I'm going to give this a fair shot.
Right. And those are the days of modern dance, not like the dance that you see on So You Can Dance. but it was more interpretive dance. And so I worked with a company. I was on scholarship at many different places. And eventually I got to the point where I wanted to just branch out a little bit and do more acting. Mm. And that's when I got my equity card, which gets you into doing more theater, and literally end up on Broadway in a show called Pippin in 1975 and 76. First, I toured with it, and then I came back and did it on Broadway as a dancer. And then I got to understudy one of the lead roles, and she left for 2 weeks, and I got to do that role for 2 whole weeks. And I would go down Broadway, and I'd go, I'm playing a lead in a Broadway show. It was just like the top of the top. I was so excited about that.
How old were you then?
Let's see. Oh gosh, I can't do the math, but in my 20s,
And you're,
because,
yeah, about, I mean,
yeah, I'm
somewhere
going to say
thereabouts.
around 25, something
Wow.
like that, 26. And from then, Pippin closed, and I didn't want to work in the chorus, but chorus is wonderful. I just wanted to start branching up and ended up, believe it or not, in TV commercials.
Oh.
I just had that the look that they say, which is a mom and housewife. And so I did all the things from, oh, let's see, Jordache jeans and
I remember
Sizzoline
those.
and let's see, Folgers and Wonder Bread, just a ton of these commercials. And at that time, people watched the commercials. They didn't have DVRs back
Right.
in the 70s.
You had to watch them.
You had to watch them, and a lot of them were 60 seconds. So it was a wonderful way to earn a living because you deal with residuals. And I did over 100 commercials. So it was just a prime time in life. And that's when I met my husband and I got married and had two kids. One, which many people know, Jessie
Yes.
Graff, who is, she's gone the farthest in American Ninja Warrior.
She is someone. I was just talking about her to somebody the other day, and your daughter Jessie Graff is probably the person that brought women to the forefront on this show. I mean, the Wonder Woman,
Well,
because she's always in the Wonder Woman stuff, which I love. She, her strength is outrageous. You
she
know,
works hard at it, yeah.
she does.
Yeah. Well, she's my inspiration for Ninja Warrior.
Yeah.
I would just cheer her on the side,
Sure.
and I would see how graceful and feminine, and she was a total package and strong. And to me, that strength was healthy. And I grew up where women were not encouraged to lift weights and get bulky. Bulky was the word that was used. You don't want to get too bulky, you know.
Yeah.
So we didn't have sports, that many sports. And in high school, I think we only had three sports. It was like track, swimming, and maybe volleyball, which I didn't do any of those. So it was just a very different time. And you know, it's like there's so many stereotypes that women have had to go through and change, and we've come so far in so many ways. But Jessie, when she was out there, little girls would go, "You mean I could do that?" Because people weren't doing that. You didn't have women competing against men and women actually in the top numbers. So it really helped the sport grow a great deal. And she was my inspiration. And I said to her, "Jessie, I'd like to get strong." That's, of course, when I'm 63. So I skipped all
Love
the other
that.
parts in
Love
there,
it.
but I'll go straight to the 63-year-old who was trying to do a pull-up because she had mentioned that that was one of the things that I should do to be able to get strong. And I got that bar that you put in between the door, and I would try with a little hand. They had handles in it. And I was getting nowhere, really. I spent, you know, not that much time on it, but it was enough to just get discouraged with it. So I seriously started to go to a personal trainer when I was 63 and had retired. And I went to him and I said, "This is my goal. I want to do five pull-ups." I always try to make a goal that's attainable. It's not like the one way out and, you know, left field. It's the one that's reachable. There's no reason if I can do one pull-up, I could get more. So, and you can't learn to do a pull-up until you start to get strong. And you have to do your arms, your back, your chest,
Everything.
and your legs. You know,
And your
you do
core,
the whole thing,
everything.
core, everything. So it took a while. And interesting with our discussion earlier, it took me till 7 months that people started noticing that I was more defined and toned. Now that was 7 months. A lot of people stop at 6 months. That's it. I mean, if they're lucky to get 6 months.
And again, this
So
is great. This is great for people to hear because the people that I work with and the people out there that follow me on social media, they're always talking about timelines, and they think that putting on muscle is, you know, a month or two of some work. No,
not for me either. Yeah, some people are built where they gain muscle easier than others, but it was just not my case. It took forever. And after a year, I was barely able to get one pull up, barely. I'd be able to jump to the bar, pull myself up and go back down. But then I couldn't get myself back up again. And they showed that in our story in American Ninja Warrior, where I'm like, you know, that was 7 years ago. And they did a mother-daughter segment on us of just
working out
together. Yes. And they kind of showed a little bit of it on the show. Mm-hmm. And you can see where I couldn't pull myself up. And so, with time and after a year, I was able to get that one and then, you know, continue. I continued with the strength training. And they encouraged me after we did that segment to put in a video and you know, try to get on the show. And I was like, that's crazy. I worked on a few obstacles in a neighbor who had been on the show before. He built some of the obstacles. So I worked on a couple of them. It was just the steps. They're called Quinn steps, and they go side to side and they go up. And
is that the first? Is that the first obstacle usually the one?
It was.
Yeah.
It was. Yeah. They've changed it. So that I thought, I go on that thing, I'll break my ankle. And I will tell you this, those athletes make it look so easy.
Yeah.
You get up there in front of those steps and it's like, whoa, that's far apart. Oh, that angle. How like it's a frightening experience.
I bet.
But I worked on some of those. I did put in a video and they called me and then Jesse said, you better get yourself to a competition someplace. You at least try to get on something.
So is there a big circuit of ninja, like the Ninja World has its own local shows, competitions?
Yeah, there are several different leagues. And, you have to qualify and then you go to regionals and then you go to worlds.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Two very big ones, but there are more that are coming about, and there's some that are just local, so you have a lot of opportunities, but you have to travel to get to them.
Yeah, sure.
So I'm in North Carolina, and there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There's like 9. I could be missing something right there. That was just a quick synopsis. Different places to go, but all of them are quite a bit of a travel. So I went to this competition. It was in Atlanta. And I felt like I stuck out like a sore thumb, that people were like, and I kept looking at the obstacles and going back and I go, how am I going to jump from here to that ring up there? And the same fella who built some of the obstacles was saying, just follow your eyes and your hands will follow where your eyes are. And so I got through maybe 5 or 6 obstacles. So it was a really great experience. And so I went to a couple before I did the show. But still, when I did the show way back when, I didn't know what I was doing. I really did. When I stood up there and they counted it down, they counted it down and I went, oh my gosh, what have I done?
what now?
Why didn't somebody tell me? So I didn't make it past the first obstacle. So I'm here to tell you that this was a very long time coming, but I felt very accomplished at getting through the first obstacle. And it was something that I had always wanted to do. I was scared to do again, but I felt that I really just needed to for my own self.
Did you want to get past that first obstacle?
I did. Yeah. I did. You know, a lot of people say, I'm going to ring that buzzer. I'm going to do that. I'm just thinking, look, I just want to, I mean, if I hit the second obstacle, that's going to be fabulous.
Yeah.
And I think I could have gotten further, but I see as I study it and I see other athletes do it now, I see that I'm lacking in technique. There's things that people who have a background of gymnastics and rock climbing and track, and they have a lot more savvy when it comes to how to swing and release and how to prepare to swing and release a far distance. So That's the next thing I have to work on before I go on the show again, because I am determined to get a second and third obstacle.
So do you have to like reapply?
Yes.
Yeah. Every time?
Right. Every time. This past year, though, they did two seasons. So it'll be 2 years before I'll have a chance. But that gives me a lot of training time. So.
Sure. Sure.
I just enjoy it.
One thing I thought I heard you say somewhere on someone's podcast or in an interview or somewhere that you're scared of heights or you have a height
yes,
issue.
Well, I have a big height issue.
Well,
I even look
there's
at my
a lot
daughter.
Of height in that.
Yes. In fact, that was one of the questions that they asked me. They said, well, I understand you have a fear of heights. What are you going to do when you get on the course? And I went, not look down.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I do. I can't. I get queasy in my stomach. I can't, like, I climbed a lighthouse, but I couldn't go out by the railing.
Oh.
I just couldn't. I just stood with my hands against the cement
yeah.
wall.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know where that comes from. Maybe background sometime or another, because Jessie is certainly not that way at all. I mean, she
no,
has high
not
falls.
At all. It doesn't appear to be.
Yeah, and she's a stunt actress too. So yes. So I just hold my breath and I get those butterflies in my stomach. So I had to learn how to do a rope climb, and the first time I did it, I think I didn't get up that far, but I didn't look down, but it encouraged me to be able to do it again. I just look straight at the rope. I just can't look down.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
The best I've done is an 85-foot rope
oh,
at a competition. And
that's huge.
I'm really, really, really proud of that.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, 85 feet, jeez.
Well, you do have the harness.
Sure. But still.
But still, yeah, I always make them like, well, can I just test out the harness first? Can I just climb up and then drop in it?
And make sure that it works. You know, good. Yeah, I would probably want to do that too, just to make sure.
You know, and that's part of the thing I do with all of the obstacles. And that's what makes it so hard on American Ninja Warrior. You don't get to be on the obstacle before the show. And they have a lot of new ones. I think they only had one that had been done before, and that was the rolling logs. So the others were all new, and so you don't know what to practice for.
Do you know what they're going to be? So you have no. Oh, do you get to like walk the course and see them before you actually get on them?
We do what's called rules, where we walk by each of the obstacles, and they have one person demo it.
Oh.
So the course tester. So you see how it operates.
Got it.
That's all you get.
Wow.
But when I train, I don't just do an obstacle. I usually will, let's say, jump to it and just touch it with my fingers. I don't want to hurt my shoulders. I don't want to hurt. I want to see if I can jump that high before I go, you know, straining. And everything I do, like with learning the steps, I brought them in closer and got used to doing that. So mine is a very slow approach. But then when I get it, and I've done something like it before, then I feel more comfortable on the course.
I think your approach is a smart approach, though. I think I would probably do it the very same way. Is
well,
just
I think as an older adult, yes. I mean,
yeah.
There's so many things. Now, the first obstacle was totally new. And so many people fell on it because it was new and it was so different. It was called pole vault. And you had to jump on a mini tramp to a pole, and the pole moves. And you
right,
have
I
to
saw that.
Keep
yeah,
climbing,
and you had to climb fast.
Yeah, well, you have to jump fast. You have to jump high. And I'm not used to mini tramps, so that was a little bit of a difficulty.
And I remember Jessie was there coaching you. She was yelling at you, or not yelling, but she was yelling to you to approach that tramp. And I can't remember what she was saying, but I know she was
punch.
Trying to coach you on how to hit that trampoline, right?
Well, yes. But before, in times past in competitions, she tells me too many things. And I just go, oh,
that's
too much for me to get. I said, I just need simple words. And this time she said, what are the simple words that you need? And we came up with, she said, stop, breathe, look at the tramp, look at the pole, then punch, which is punch into the trampoline.
Yep. That's it.
Grab the pole, climb, 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 climb. And then if it was coming down, because you couldn't hit the water.
Yeah.
Tight. So all I did was like pull the pole tight to my body
Ah.
until it hit, and then I climbed the rest of the way. So
wow.
That saved me, because you can, you know, if you get wet, then you're out.
You're done. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
So
yeah.
Those key words, and I heard that when she said tight, I went.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think I remember hearing her say something about punch.
Punch was
the mini tramp. Yeah, yeah. That makes perfect sense.
So that's what I mean by focus. That's what I need to do on the competition course is have those words, key words, to remember what to do. And then everything else disappears. You don't think of height.
My heart rate is going because of the thought of not having any kind of practice on these obstacles. Like you get to see them. You get to see someone else do them. And that's it.
That's it. Yeah, and that's only right before the show starts.
Oh,
you don't get days to think about it.
And another thing I was wondering, I've often wondered about this show too. It's always at night. So are they taping overnight or during the evening hours?
That's for lighting purposes. Yeah. If you did it during the day, you have clouds in and out.
Washed
and,
out.
You know,
yeah.
So this way they can control the environment and the lighting.
It looked cold too. I mean, everyone is wearing sweats and things. And here, all you guys are in shorts or shirts or, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, okay, so you're going through all this. It's cold outside.
Very.
Your nerves have got to be up there. You've never been on these, you know,
obstacles.
Obstacles. Yeah. You haven't been on any of the obstacles before. So all of this is kicking in and it's freezing cold. And I can't imagine the water's kind of cold too.
Yeah. You don't even feel the water, honestly. The endorphins have kicked in and you just like, that's all you can think about.
It's got to. Or you wouldn't be able to survive it.
But funny story is that not until I saw that show that Monday night did I know that I had made history in being the first person at my age, the oldest person that completed an obstacle.
Wow.
I kept hearing them say that. I'm going, well, I think I'm the oldest female, but the oldest person. And then the more I thought about it, I went, oh, I didn't know that. I did not know that. It's a good thing, because that would have put one more piece of pressure on me.
Because the two announcers and their names are escaping me. I adore them.
Akbar and Matt Eisen.
Yeah, Akbar's going crazy over you.
He's wonderful.
He went crazy. He said you were absolutely his favorite of, you know, it was because it was so inspiring to watch you do that.
And actually,
to see your face after getting that first obstacle, because we could see it in your face, how happy you were. And which brings us to the second obstacle. Which to me, I'm looking at that going, your grip strength, you know, and I know Jessie climbs, right? Jessie is a rock climber and all that. The iron grip strength. Your grip strength on that, for as long as you held on, because I saw you didn't kick off of that at the end, launch off. So you backed up and kept trying.
Yeah.
I don't know, two or three times, was it? Your grip strength was it five? Your grip strength is outrageous. It's unbelievable.
Well, first, I have to explain to your audience that they're nunchucks. And they're just round, cylindrical. Whoops, is that the right word?
Cylindrical? I don't know, maybe.
Cylindrical, yeah.
I don't know.
And they're very hard to hold because they're just an odd shape. And it's called a nunchuck. And it's called, the whole obstacle is called Grease Lightning. And there's a reason it's called Grease Lightning, because it goes so fast.
Oh.
My brain doesn't go that fast. But in it, it's like a zip line going downhill very fast. And it had two major bumps in it. So you had to, that made a lot of people fall. A lot of people fell on the second obstacle. But with the, either with the bumps where they just, you know, fell off of it. So I knew to grab hold of them really tight and hold it in kind of like in a ball to absorb the bump.
Oh.
So I was able to hold on through those two bumps, but the end came too fast for me to prepare to dismount. Yeah. So this is what I say about technical. I see many, and there's an advantage of people having seen the show a couple of times before it was time for them to compete, because they can see and they plan out in their head what you have to do. So you're thinking ahead, tuck in, bump, tuck in, bump, get ready and dismount. And it was a far dismount. So a lot of people fell just on that too. But if you didn't do it on the first time, it was extremely difficult to keep going back and forth and try to do it. You just lose momentum. You just,
You didn't have enough speed to at that point. But you were
yeah.
hanging on and hanging on. And I mean, it didn't look like, I mean, and I'm just watching on TV, of course, but it didn't look like I didn't see your hand slipping down the nunchuck. They were there,
Oh, I
but
had a grip on
yeah, you certainly did have a grip on them. But at some point, I'm guessing for everything starting to burn up at that point.
Well, it was just that there was no momentum. So what would I do? I wish I'd just hollered out, "Okay, Jesse, you got any ideas now?"
Jesse, what you got for me?
But I figured, I was like, I knew I was, my once my arms dropped down, I went, "Well, let's just see if I can do a pull-up." So I did one more pull-up and then I let go and dropped. But in hindsight, I think it may have been better just to do what I do, because I was able to show strain instead of if I had just dismounted and hit the edge and fallen back. It would have been not as exciting as somebody struggling and not, just not giving up. Just keep fighting, fight, fight, fight until you can't anymore. And that was one of the messages that I felt good about,
I just got chills because that's exactly what I was thinking about when I was watching you that night. Is I said, look at her. She's not giving up. I mean, a lot of people would have just said, I can't do
I'm
it.
done.
You were trying to give it another shot, see if you could build up some momentum or whatever,
Right.
And the last pull up. I mean, come on,
The people were really with me. I couldn't even hear Jesse anyway. They were all cheering. It's like, fight, fight, get it, get it. They were so great. I mean, I just loved them because they were so supportive.
When you've been training for this, describe what your training is like when you're training for ninja.
Well, most of the training I do is strength training, because I've got to get stronger in order to do most of
How many
anything.
days a week do you strength train?
Three.
Amazing.
And I like strength training with a personal trainer, because he knows when to go up in weight. He tells me when my knees are going in or my head is looking down or all these little things that when I do by myself, I may not do correctly. And so I really like that. I also not sure I'd have the discipline to do the things I do if he weren't there telling me, okay, yeah,
Love that
resets,
honesty.
resets. So I really like that, and that's the most important thing. I also swim. I swim. I'm getting ready for nationals, which are coming up in Pittsburgh next month.
What
Yeah.
events do you
So
swim?
the 50-yard free, fly, breaststroke, and the 100 IM. So I'm a sprinter. So that's my cardio,
I'll
and
say.
it's yeah. I work with a coach that has us as 15 of us. It's not personal. It's just, but it can't, I mean, it is personal in the fact that you get tips for
Is it
your.
15 and are y'all about the same age? You got young kid? I mean,
Well, one guy is in his 80s. Yeah. Yeah. So it's fascinating. That's the thing I love about swimming, is it's very inspirational when you see the senior games, which is like the senior Olympics, and that's age 50 and up. And when you see these 80 and 90-year-olds, there's a 100-year-old that's out there swimming, doing a 200 backstroke. You just get excited for it. It just is like, wow, look at what they're doing. They may need help getting up on the block that you dive off of, just climbing those stairs up to, but they dive and they do flip turns and they do all these things, and it's like, wow, look at them. It's that's inspiring to me to see
Oh,
that.
it's almost like the water is the great neutralizer in a lot of ways, right?
It's a very good exercise for the whole body. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they need help getting up to the block. Totally understand that. But once they're in the water, they're just kind of doing their thing. I mean, that is inspirational, you know, that
very much so.
I mean, it for those of us that aren't that old yet, I'm like, yeah, I want to be like that. Yeah. I mean, I want to keep doing what I'm doing when I'm that age. Absolutely.
Right. That's what we strive for. It's what is it? It's not the years in your life account. It's the life in your years.
Oh, wow. I love that.
Yeah. That's
oh,
what
wow. I love that.
That's by Abe Lincoln.
I love that. It's not the life in.
It's not the years in your life that count.
Yeah. Years in life.
It's the life in your years.
It's life in years. I'm writing this down because I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
As it's what you do now is what your quality of life is going to be. So we can do these things. We just, it's the mental part is what gets in our way. But let me just finish that. So I do the personal training. I do the swimming 3 times a week at this point. And I also do obstacle training at my friend's house. He has built those obstacles.
Do you have a coach for that?
No, it's limited in the fact that you're on the ground. You don't have mats. So I can't do like a 5 and 6 foot lache there because it's dangerous if you land on your back or fall and stuff like that. So we do a lot of balance, which is good for me, and slack line and things like that. But we also, he has the salmon ladder that I work on there.
Yeah.
So that's good. So I do that twice a week as well. And kind of help coach some of the other girls that are in their 50s as well, 50 and above. So
I love that.
That's pretty much the training schedule. And leading up to a competition, I will try to rest in that last week. You kind of taper off just because you want to be, the trouble is you overtrain. And then next thing you know, the shoulder hurts, you sprained your ankle, so you really have to be careful about not overtraining. And that's, I think, the good thing about being older is because you go, you know, I feel this. I'll go over and do some balance.
You know, and I love that you just said that because, I mean, I have a bad hip right now. My shoulder will flare up once in a while. And I feel like people our age, we're over the ego thing now. I'm done with that. It's like, I'm not going to push through pain. I'm smart enough now to know that's not a good call. And I want to keep doing what I'm doing for as long as I'm on this earth. And so I need to be smart about it. Right.
And
I feel like that's kind of an advantage of being our age, because I think we do have enough wisdom behind it to understand when something is happening, we need to listen.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, it's too easy to hurt yourself. So,
speaking of injuries, have you had any injuries along the way?
I still have a little tinge in my shoulder. I don't know where it came from. And I got a high ankle sprain a long time ago. And it's still, I wear ankle braces all the time. That's what in the show you'll see. I have those braces on my ankles for mostly for balance things, because it's so, their balance things are pretty scary.
I can, yeah.
So, I always keep that on because it's too easy to turn an ankle.
Yeah.
In competition, I always wear them, but you know, in practice, I don't necessarily wear them.
Do you have any?
I broke my finger in one competition. I didn't even know I did it. And afterwards I went,
that hurts.
Look right. And I had kept up. I had done the cliffhanger, which is when you hang on by just your fingertip. I'd done all this kind of stuff afterwards and I never, ever felt it. Which shows you that when you're in the throes of a competition, things that, you know, you're not even aware of that way.
You know, it's funny. I started jujitsu last year at 62. And
good for you.
Yeah. Ooh. You know, it's another crazy thing, you know, just forever learning and doing something out of my comfort zone and something challenging and all that kind of stuff. And I broke my pinky toe there. Had no idea. Until I got home and I'm like, well, my foot kind of looks a little fun. Like the purple color's not normal.
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
there's
nothing
you do for that tiny.
You don't, you know, you buddy tape it to the next toe and you call it a day. I mean, that's pretty much it. I just had to find a pair of shoes that I could fit into that weren't sandals, you know?
My daughter has an interesting way of putting it. She tells me that what she wants to do is build armor around all her joints. Because then you're protecting the joints, because those are the things that get hurt, obviously. Ankles, hips, shoulders, elbows, wrists. So the more you work those things, like I have arthritis, I can't wear rings anymore because, yeah. So I will sit in front of the TV with the rubber bands that you get off of broccoli,
And
and
do
I
that.
just do the, flip my, and so I work on that. I have a, it's a grip bar that I twist when I'm watching TV or things like that too. You twist it, you make it, go different ways, which is good for opening jars. So these are things that we lose. I mean, I saw my mom, she couldn't open jars.
Yeah, mine either, right?
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
So hard to
It's
see some of the things that you can't do, but if you keep working it.
Yeah. Movement's medicine now. It's so interesting. I think old school way of thinking was ice and rest, and I have a movement doc up here that I see all the time, and he's like, that's not what happens anymore. It's they want you moving as much as possible, and it might be a different movement, but you want to keep blood flowing, somehow. So like those things that you're doing, absolutely. I have an arthritic hip. I'm going to have a hip replacement probably in
Oh.
I thought it was going to be in the distant future, but it's not. It's going to be much sooner, which, hip replacements nowadays are not a big deal. They're outpatient surgery, which is
Right. They
outrageous.
get you right out. Yeah,
Right. Yeah.
enough.
But it's because of my activity level, it'll last me probably 10 years, maybe 12. So in my 70s, I'm probably going to need another one. And that's a different ball game. So we're trying to figure out quality of life issues now versus then. And, all these things, but I feel the best when I move,
Right.
the more I move. And I think for any injury in arthritis, especially, I mean, the worst thing we can do is not move.
Right. So will you have full range of motion after with a hip replacement?
Supposedly, knock on wood, everything goes well. Yes, I should be able to do whatever I want. The thing that's changed for me now is I don't squat full range of motion anymore. I do a box squat that's basically at parallel. And my coach, who's my business partner, he writes all my stuff. We've been focusing on single leg stability stuff for my hip. So I am kind of prehabbing, right now, so that when I do have a hip replacement, I will have set myself up for the very best scenario that I could get,
Well, the best thing that you said about this is that you're still doing squats. They may be halfway down, but you're doing it. You're moving. And I think that a lot of times people will go, well, I can't do this. But that's where I said the mental gets in your way so many times. You look at something and you go, I can't do that. Oh, it's too hot outside. There's one excuse after another. And when I really started swimming, I used to go, well, I have to swim every single day, whether it's foggy, rainy, whatever. I'm just going to get in and do my 20 laps or whatever it was. And because if I skip one day, it gives me an excuse to skip another day. And then where will you be? So I tell a lot of people, have your outfit, have it planned the day before that you're going to take this class. And maybe you're going to take three classes this week, whatever it is, you have that down. Or take your clothes out so that it's another thing that's prepared for you, so you will be ready to go in the morning or whenever that time is. But do all the preparations so that the next morning you can't say no. It's
No,
like, well,
you
those
no,
clothes are sitting
and
there.
what you just said is how you reach a goal. That's where you start. It's a non-negotiable for yourself, right?
Well, you want to create a habit. So once you start, you create a habit, and then it gets to be where you don't want to stop. You don't feel good if you're not.
When you don't do it.
Yeah. And when you work for strength, I have to tell you one story about the strength training is that I had osteopenia, which is a step before osteoporosis. And I lifted weights for 2 years, and I was kind of excited to see, well, is this going to make a difference? People tell you this is going to do something. And the results were in, and I reversed it to normal. Yeah. Now, I don't know, and I'm told you can't do that with osteoporosis. I don't know. But I don't know if they say you can't, and then somebody does.
Then who knows, right?
Let's prove them wrong. But I think
Maybe you can't. I mean, I don't know. I haven't looked at the research enough to know whether you could reverse osteoporosis, but I do know
osteopenia,
that.
I can tell you can.
Yeah,
Yeah.
well, you're a living, breathing example. But I have read that the best thing you can do for it is to resistance train,
Yeah.
lift some weights. It's certainly not going to hurt, whether it can reverse it, I don't know, but it's certainly going to help you as opposed to not doing anything.
I have written down because I can't remember these statistics, but we tend to lose 1 to 2% of bone mass per year, and 20 million have osteoporosis.
Wow.
And you want to build that bone density, but then you have muscle loss. You lose 30% of lean muscle by age 60 and 50% by age 70. So these things can you if you start early enough, or even if you start late, like I did, you can change this so that you don't have the muscle loss or the bone loss, which can cause falls or and then there's the balance. I read some, I think I just read on the internet that if you're at 50 years old, you should be able to hold balance on 1 foot for 40 seconds. And a 60-year-old should be able to balance for 20 seconds. And a 70-year-old should be able to balance for 10 seconds. Now, try to make that better than that, but those are things that you can try at home and see where you are when it comes to balance. You'd be surprised.
Yeah.
I told my
Oh.
husband to do it, and he's like, oh, I can do that. It's like, it's kind of wobbling. I'm like,
yeah.
wow, that's a little harder than I thought.
Yeah.
But in the heart, the 85% over 50 have significant blockage in the heart arteries. And the muscle, that the heart is a muscle, and that's what pumps the blood more efficiently. And that's why I say cardio, because I have this visual that the more you move and the, you get it going faster, you get your cardio up, then the blood is moving faster and it's not allowing things to stick. Now that's
Yeah.
my own personal thought of it, visual.
Yeah.
So all these things can be prevented.
They all can be. And speaking to, I mean, I was diagnosed with AFib maybe a year and a half ago, out of the blue, no history of AFib, nothing. They have no clue as to how, and mine's very minor in the bigger picture. But what's been interesting is I've changed my cardio now. I do a lot of zone two cardio a little bit every day. And it's helping my jujitsu too, actually, because
I
there's a
bet.
lot of cardio endurance with that. But yeah, and zone two, for anyone that doesn't know, is just kind of a lower intensity, steady state, getting your heart rate up to where you could have a conversation. It might be a little breathy, but you can still talk to somebody. It's not sprints or high intensity. And that is just teaching your heart to be more efficient,
Yes.
like you were saying, which comes in handy for a lot of things that you want to do, from a physical standpoint.
Right. Right. I also had another problem. I have heart disease in my family, and I had one of these tests, and it came up 50 to 70% occluded in my carotid. That scared me. When I heard 70, I didn't hear 50. I heard 70.
70, yeah.
They just give you a range, and they sent me to a vascular surgeon, and that he said, no, I think it was read wrong, but come back in 2 years. We'll check it again, make sure everything's looking okay. I was terrified. I thought, well, is there something I can do to get rid of some of this plaque? And he goes, no, you can't do that. So I'm like, And I kind of just listened to it. And then I had a friend who told me about a book she read that says, no, you absolutely can help clear up the arteries. And so for 2 years, I stopped red meat, dairy. Oh, it was a drastic new diet for me. Instead of butter, I would use avocado to spread on. Saturated fats, I tried to stay away from processed food. And so it was just a very, very stringent diet, mostly fish and vegetables. And 2 years when I came back, they read it and it was 40%. Now
Wow.
I said, is that diet? Is that a different reader, a different machine? And it's like the person who was a technician said, well, it's probably a little bit of both. So I can't really, I'll never really know if it was diet. Now I'm a little bit more moderate. I'll have red meat once a month or so, but I'm careful. And not to have the fried foods, not to have meat, red meat too much. So, you know, who knows? I'll see how the cholesterol and all that stuff is going. But I think that if you kind of stick to things, that you can make some good, healthy changes to your body.
I know
Diet is diet's a huge thing, and
it's
it's
huge.
different for everybody, though. I mean, it's not like I can say a Mediterranean diet would be good for you, or a vegan, you should be a vegan. You know, everybody has a different thing that works. But you know, you have to know your family history is very important to know, and to be very proactive when it comes to, you know, seeing the doctor, you know, watching these kind of things. So
I was going to ask you about nutrition, and so I'm so glad you brought this up, because and how that has played a role in your training. Do you eat to fuel your training differently, or do you kind of
yes.
do the same thing?
No, I had to get a lot more protein. And that was a hard thing to do, because you really have to have 4 meals a day. And it was like having 2 eggs and turkey sausage, and it was rough. So I started supplementing with those bars, you know, the protein bars. And then I looked at the ingredients, and it was so much sugar in it that I went, well, that's not good. And it's a hard thing for me to manage. I have to work very hard of it. And water. I don't drink enough water. Never have. I used to be in a sales job for a while, and traveling around, you just don't want to drink too much, because then you have to go to the bathroom the whole
Trust me.
time. So, anyway, that's something that I've really changed a lot. I just make sure that I get a lot of water and electrolytes. But the nutrition and trying to get the protein, now I have, like, I'll fix a lot of chicken, and then I'll come back after a workout and make sure that, you know, like 40 minutes before a workout, I'll have some protein, and afterwards I might have a banana with peanut butter on it, or, you know, something like that. So I'm actually getting that protein to help build the muscle, because I just tore it down. You know, I just, you know, lifted weights, I tore the muscle a bit, and now it's got to have time to build back up again. And that's the other thing I didn't say about training, is that we mix up the days, push days, pull days, leg days. So you might do chest and triceps one day, back and biceps another day, and leg day, you might do abs another day. You know,
It's mixed up.
you got to give the muscles time to grow back.
Rest and recovery is so interesting, because I came from the, oh, more is better when it comes to training. You know, the
Oh
old
man, I
school,
did.
more is not better. Better is better. Making what you're doing more effective for me in the gym is far better than trying to lift weights 6 days a week. And I was of the school, I was from the school of, okay, 2 days must be great. You know, I was lifting weights twice a day, not every day, but there were some days where I was lifting twice because I thought more was better. And I never realized while I was doing that I was making no progress whatsoever. I was constantly tired. My sleep was just tanked.
That's
I was
another thing, sleep.
Right. And I was getting injured and nicked up a little bit, a lot, nagging little pesky things. Well, it's no wonder my body never had a chance to recover. And so when I
Recover.
first started working with Jordan, he scaled me back to 4 days a week. And I thought I was going to lose my mind at first, you know, like, what am I supposed to do? And he's like, you rest, you don't lift on those days. And the irony was, I all of a sudden started making all this progress, right? And as I've
Nice.
gotten older, a lot of times I need more recovery than even I did 3 years ago,
Right.
and
Right.
especially with my arthritic hip. Some days, if it's leg day, my hip ain't feeling it, I ain't gonna do it,
That's right. That's right. Of course. Yeah. And there's always cardio. You can do cardio.
100%.
Yeah. 6 days a week.
Have you found recovery harder for you as you've gotten older? Or maybe not harder, but have you been more aware of it as you've gotten older?
Oh, very much so. Very much so. Yeah. Well, first of all, I try to really tell everybody to warm up. It's very important to warm up your muscles before you head right into it. I mean, if you're walking, you may not have to do a lot of things, but it's always good to do a little bit of warm up. Get your legs prepared, get your arms prepared, and that kind of thing. And then it's good to stretch afterwards. You know, stretch those muscles out. So, I can't say that I always do that because, you know, you're always, I gotta run, gotta run. So, but I know intelligently that it's very important to warm up. During the show, it was very strange. It was time for me to go up. And I went, I think it was about 1 o'clock in the morning in LA. Now, my friends and family that were in the screens that were watching from home, it was 4 a.m. on the eastern side of the world.
Wow, your run, the recent run, was it 1 in the morning?
Right. Yeah. But I was ready to go. It was my turn. I was up. I had my coat off. I'm in the wings, ready to go. Smoke is starting. And then they said, oh, we're going to stop for a lunch. So, well, lunch is for the crew. It's food. It's time to stop and eat for them because it depends on how much time they've been there. When they were there, they have a strict time where they have to have a meal break. So there I was all ready to go, and it's like, oh, okay. So I guess what do I do now? I have to warm up again a little bit later. Let's see how long is that? Okay, warm up, make sure I get some protein, and then start that whole process over, and then go back later. That was a little like,
That was
oh,
unexpected.
yeah. And those kind of things just happen. So.
And I assume you have to just kind of go with the flow.
You do indeed. Yeah.
Oh
You have
my
to be ready when
goodness.
it's time to be ready.
What would you say to anybody out there who's kind of in our age bracket, 50s on up, or whatever age, but specifically middle-agers, who think, it's too late for me. Time has passed me by. I've let too many things go. It's too overwhelming. I don't know where to start. All of that kind of thing. What would you say to those people?
Well, oh gosh. I guess you have to know that it's never too late. It's never, you're never too old. Even a 90-year-old can benefit hugely by doing resistance training. It's been proven. And you could start by not even using bands or what I call resistance, where you're using bands. You can do just the motion just to get your muscles moving. You could start easily that slowly. I tell many people to start with walking and then to try to do faster walking to get the heart rate up and to, get a buddy because it's so much more fun with somebody else.
It
And
is.
then you have somebody else to, make sure that you're on track, so to speak, no pun intended. So, find a buddy, start with walking, get that walking up. And there are tons of sports out there that people can get involved with. But I, fervently say to lift weights for your bone density, for lo your longevity, and to get that cardio going, that you're never, like I said, you're never too late.
And I love that. I wrote a book called Fit at Any Age. It's Never Too Late. That's the subtitle of my book for this very reason, everything that you're saying. Because for me, I started making my progress in my mid-50s, I guess. And
Oh, same. Okay.
and you later even, and it's just a testament that I ain't anyone special. I don't have great genes or whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
It's
right.
just, I just put in some work and it is hard work. I mean,
Well, there's that time where you're raising a family and you have to go to work, you're 9 to 5, you're this, you're taking your kids to sports, you're doing all that. And I would have that time period as well. And that's when I devised my little 20-minute routine that I would get up in the morning and I would do different things when it came to crunches and push-ups, the standard push-up without bent knees. What do we call that? They used to call them the ones when you bend your knees, women's
Girl
push-ups.
push-ups or something.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, please.
Where we've come from. But I mean, that's. So, I had a 20-minute routine. I didn't make it longer because I didn't have time, and I didn't make it shorter because I can make those 20 minutes work. It was just a matter of getting up 20 minutes earlier. So, everybody needs to find that time when they can do it. Maybe before they get home on the way home from work, before they, because it's really good for you to just get that energy going, and then you're much better in order to see your kids and your family and get the dinner started and all that kind of thing. So I think it's just important to find that time in your life that you can do that.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I love that you had said, start by walking. You know, that's where I love to tell people to start if there's, because sometimes people get so overwhelmed because they feel like there's so much they want to change that they almost get paralyzed.
I understand,
you know?
That. I feel that when I walk into Costco.
Yeah, right. It, yes, that's a great example, right? You walk into Costco and you're like, oh my God.
What did I need? I don't know.
I love that. Yeah, that's exactly it. And so nothing gets accomplished, right? Because they're so paralyzed.
I understand that.
Start with walking. It's accessible to everybody. Doesn't matter how long or where you go, whatever, just go. Because once you start doing that, you start feeling better. And once you start feeling better, then that'll start getting the wheels in motion, maybe to do something else, whether it's with your nutrition, whether it's with training, whatever. It will just get those wheels churning, I feel like. I've seen so many people who have just started with walking and maybe it was 5, 10 minutes and it turned into 15 and 20 or whatever.
Yeah, right.
They're listening to this podcast while they're walking, whatever it is.
And you'd like them to do that.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden now they feel much better. And now they want to pay more attention to maybe their nutrition. If they want to lose weight or whatever it is, they want to start doing some body weight exercises to get them ready to add weight, you know, that kind of thing. It really can be simple to start. I think if there's just so much chatter out there, it gets confusing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. So I think we can all do more than we think we can.
Yeah.
We just don't know until we try.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, that's all you, it's just getting out there and trying. That's the important thing. And
if you would have told me I would be doing a wrestling sport at age 62, I would have told you, you are crazy.
I would have said the same thing about American Ninja Warrior.
Yes. Well, I was just going to say, right? And there we are doing these things that we never imagined really that at our age we would be doing. And I'm sure with you working with Ninja, it's a little, you know, makes you a little anxious. It's a little, you know, uncomfortable. It's unknown. But you're giving it your best. You're doing amazing. I went into my first day of jiu-jitsu terrified and I haven't gone back. I mean, I have gone back. I just never turned my back around, you know, and I just said, no, I'm going to keep going. And I've gotten better.
Okay.
And better.
Yeah.
And more comfortable and more comfortable.
Yeah, it's a lot of it is getting comfortable with it. That is true.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not something you've done before. It's like, it's easier to push it off and push it off. But I have to tell you about this one woman. I always talk about her from the senior Olympics. Her name is Julia Hurricane Hawkins. She started walking at age 100.
Oh, God bless her.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so she was always in the Olympics, and it was, you know, everybody was just going crazy about her. I think I know she did it up to 103. I don't know if she has done it since.
Hats off, mad respect.
If you want some good, you know, motivation, take a look at that and see how she is running at 103.
That's
unbelievable.
Unbelievable. I love that.
Yeah.
What, so... As we kind of wind down here, what are your goals moving forward?
Well, one of the goals was to be on American Ninja Warrior again, which I did. I had wanted to do a handstand. I've always wanted to do a handstand, but my wrists, I just, to hold my, all my weight was a little bit too difficult.
Yeah.
So now I'm going into the National Swim Meet in Pittsburgh. And so I'm hoping I would, the best I can hope for is to do better than I have done in the past. Try to make it against my own personal best. So that's when I would be happy. So I'm really looking forward to that. That's the big one.
And so then, you're competing against yourself.
Right.
Love
Definitely.
It.
Definitely. Yeah. I want to keep getting better.
I love
that's
it.
The thing is once you get going on this, you just go, I want to get better. There's so many things like a ninja. I got to get some more technique. Boy, I can go further if I just had that little extra thing. So,
yeah.
So I'll keep going with all those things. So there should be something new coming up, but we'll have to see what
No,
that is.
I love that you're focused on the process here. You know, the process of these things, not an end result of these things, but the process, getting better. You're not
Yes.
focused on like, well, I want to be able to swim this in this amount of time or whatever, and you're not giving yourself a timeline. You just want to get better than you were before.
Right. Keep getting better. And that doesn't always happen, but you can't get down on yourself when it doesn't happen. You know, it's all sorts of different circumstances that can cause the problem, but it's a goal. It's something. And that's why I like to compete, because they're all goals to me. It's like the goal is to keep breaking them.
I'm right there with you. I think the exact same way. I've given myself goals of weighted chin-ups, and I'm working my way on those. I want to row a 100-pound dumbbell. I'm almost there. You know, I mean, there's a lot of just random goals, but it's not about how long it takes. I don't care. Who cares, right? It never matters. It's just, I just want to try to do it. And the process of getting there is where the focus is.
Yeah, I didn't used to do that. I noticed myself when somebody said, "I want you to be the guinea pig and try this." And I went, "Okay." And before I would have gone, "Eh, I don't think so." I think I'm getting braver.
I love it. I love that.
And I've conquered the fear of heights. Well, I don't think you really conquer it. I think you just learn how to deal with it.
Well, I'm going to see you run up the wall on Ninja, and I don't know how tall those are if you get up to the top of the wall.
14 and a half,
Okay,
14
so
and a half.
that's up there too with hitting the buzzer or
Yeah.
buzzer up there.
Oh yeah. I definitely like to do this for
Oh, yeah.
sure. Yeah.
For
Got
sure.
it. Yeah.
Have you practiced that, by the way?
I have practiced it, but I know too many people who have broken their Achilles,
Oh.
because you go up. So there's a certain fear about that as well, because I don't
Yeah.
want that to happen. But you
Yeah.
have to just make sure that you're on your toes, that you don't, because if you're going up and your heel comes down
Yeah.
and you're going up a hill, that can
Makes
easily
sense.
happen. So it, you know, I hate to always think about what could happen, but that's sort of the way my mind works.
But
So I have to learn it very slowly.
yeah, nothing wrong with that.
I've gotten close to 14 feet. I've been like this close to 14.
Oh, that's amazing. Wow. Well,
But
I'm looking forward
unfortunately,
to
they had
seeing
to raise
that.
it to 14 and a half. So just
And
my
that
luck.
mega wall, what is that?
They just raised that 6 inches too. It's 18 and a half.
Whoo.
Yeah. You have to like look at these athletes and go, wow, it's
Yeah.
just
I do.
amazing. And the younger ones, you'll notice that there are a lot of young people that are starting to be here. We're in season 15 now, and these kids that are 15 have been raised with Ninja Warrior. So they have learned the technique, they've learned from all these shows that have been put on forever and ever. And they're coming up strong and no fears and, you know, with the technique. And
It'll be interesting to
that's amazing.
watch.
Yeah, we'll see where that goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, tell everyone where they can find you out on the internet so they can follow your story and your journey.
Oh, I would love that. That would be wonderful. So it's basically my name. It's Jenny McCall, which is GINNY MACCOLL. So Instagram is at Jenny McCall. In fact, if you just put that in the notes, that will be
I will
really
be
easy of
putting
them.
all of that in the notes.
And Facebook is the same thing, just Jenny McCall. I do have a YouTube channel, and it has all my old commercials, not all of them, but it has some of my old commercials, which are very fun to look at. Like they're
Oh, I
sizzling
want to see
there
that.
and
That would be
cultures.
amazing.
Yeah, I think it's Jenny McCall 990. I don't know where that number came from, but I think that's what it is on YouTube. So those are the major social media that I use. I actually started Instagram early because of being in a sales job, but I didn't do very much with it. I didn't know what I was doing. But now I used it after Ninja. I really started to start my story on it, learning the first pull-ups to, you know, where I am now. In fact, I get a lot of comments of like, "I remember when you were doing your first pull-up," and I'm like, how great that is for somebody to have been there and seen that and see what's going on now and see how you can change.
Yeah.
Seven years sounds like a long time, but it really wasn't that long before, know, you really feel the effects of strength.
100%. And you're inspiring so many of us out here, Jenny. I
Oh,
can't,
thank you.
I mean, I can't thank you enough for coming on here and letting us get to know you and hear all about your journey. And I look forward to keep following you and to stay in touch and just to see how things progress.
Oh, thank you. Well, I hope that they do. I plan that they will progress.
They will. I'm certain of it. And I can't wait to watch.
And I would love to see other people getting out there and moving. If I can motivate, you know, one person, I feel like it's a big win. But from what I've experienced and the health and the confidence, then I want other people to feel that too. I want my granddaughter to see what women can do. I want, you know, everybody to be able to go young, getting their body prepared so that they don't have some of the problems and conflicts that we have today, that many, many people do have today, that possibly you can have a better quality of life.
Yeah. I love that. Well, thank you so much for coming on this podcast with me. I really appreciate it. I know everyone out there is going to love hearing your story, and we will be in touch. I'll let you know when this comes out.
Oh,
and
please
thank
do.
You. Thank you again. I appreciate it, Jenny.
Thank you. And thank your audience too.